The music this morning, to me, it was outstanding. I just got a little bopticostical there listening to that beautiful music this morning. I hope you did too in your soul and in your heart today. For those here and those online, we're glad to have you today and want you to take your Bibles on this Resurrection Sunday and want you to turn to the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. I was kidding Brother Severs this morning because he said when he got up to be on Matthew 27 or 28, that he thought maybe that was my material. Well, then he got into my material, but I don't hold grudges. I don't get mad. I don't get even. I just get ahead. I want you to take your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. As we look here, I want you to notice these two sad disciples on the road to Emmaus Road there that morning. And to them, our Lord was dead. Friday had passed. Saturday had passed. And now it is Sunday morning. And to them, that Friday was a day of death, because he died that day and all their dreams and everything that they hoped for was dead because he was in the grave. Then Saturday came and they were so discouraged after Friday, and they were so discouraged because to them he was dead. But now it is Sunday morning and they're going to make a great discovery. I hope you have discovered within your own heart and your own being that he lives. If you have not discovered that, you'll never be saved. You'll never go to heaven. You'll never know what it means to have your sins forgiven because he rose from the grave. And so that morning, I want to draw attention, number one, who were these two? I want you to notice we read here, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or about 7 miles, really. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now we know, according to verse 18, one of them, whose name was Cleopas. There are those who believe the other one was just a friend, one of the disciples along with him. I believe it was his wife. Why do you believe that? Well, thank you for asking. If you'll go to a moment over there to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 19, when these women were there at the cross in the 19th chapter, we find over here in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, who was the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So we believe, and I believe, there was a husband and wife. That's who they were that were on their way, on that road. Now, why were they so sad? Again, I've already mentioned it was Sunday. Friday had passed. I'm sure they had dreams and visions of what would happen with our Lord would come and establish the kingdom and all the things they thought of, but in their minds, he was dead. Saturday has also passed, and they were discouraged. If you'll go over there again to the passage in Luke's gospel and look with me to verse 21, just drop down to that. But we trusted, he's talking to the Lord Jesus, these are talking to him, that have been the which should have redeemed Israel. Besides this, he said, besides this, this is the third day. He's gone. He's dead. It's all over with. All of our dreams are gone. We're so discouraged. We're so down. And I will tell you today that everything about the future would be dead in our life if he was dead. We'd be discouraged this morning, but hallelujah, we need not be discouraged because he lives. That's why they were sad. And then think with me, not only who they were and why they were sad, but what it means not to live in the power of the third day. They were just down. You ever been down? You ever been discouraged? We all have done that. But I'll tell you this, I have found the best thing to chase discouragement away is to think about our resurrected Lord and who he is to us. But have you thought about what it would be if it was not for that third day? They notice what it says in verse 21 again. And besides all this, it's the third day. It's the third day since these things were done, as though, well, there's another day and then it'd be fourth day on Monday. But no, our Lord will assure them that he's alive. I was thinking of that and want to leave that for just a moment and go to 1 Corinthians 15, which is that great resurrection chapter. And I draw our attention there if we go down to verse 14, because he talks about what would happen if there not been the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are four things in this text to remind us what it means not to live in the power of the third day, what it means not to experience that tremendous day. Look there in verse 14, you have the verse one. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, we'd have an empty message. There's no reason for me to come up here and preach. There's no reason for Sunday school. There's no reason for anything. Why? Because if he's still in the grave, we have an empty message. We are the only religion, if I could word it that way, the only belief, if I could be assured of, that our God lives because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Notice not only we would have an empty message, but look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And verse 17, and we would be, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. In other words, there's a second reason. The first, that we would have an empty message. Secondly, we would be enslaved to sin. Sin would never be conquered in our lives. We still would not want to do the things that our old flesh wants to do. Hallelujah! Sin has been broken through Jesus Christ. Then in verse 18 is the third reason. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ will perish. There'd be eternal separation. I've recently attended the funeral of a beautiful, wonderful young lady of 42 years of age that God took home to be with her. And I'm going to see her one day. You know why? Because he lives. There's no eternal separation. The grave is not the end for the Christian. Hallelujah for that. Not only would there be an empty message to preach this morning, not only would we be enslaved to sin, not only would there be eternal separation, but fourthly, endless misery. Look in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. If all we have is what we see around us, we would be miserable. Christian does not need to be miserable because he has the belief in the resurrected of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know who they were, why they were sad, because Friday, Saturday, now it's Sunday, and in their minds, he's still dead. What it means to have him be dead in the grave, those four things. But think with me, not only do we see the sad disciples, but I think about the stranger they met. Look here again as we look here in the text. Let me just read to you again, verse 15. It came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And the Bible tells us here that he was just a stranger to them. They didn't know for sure who he was. Look at verse 18. And that one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? I draw your attention to that thought. Our Lord was a stranger to them. You know, I hope today he's not a stranger to you. I hope today you know him not only as your Savior, but you know him with some death. I'm often concerned today, particularly in our society, we have what we call CEO Christians. That's Christmas and Easter only. Don't be a Christmas and Easter only Christian, because that means he's just a stranger to you. And you're doing a religious thing. Our beliefs are not religious, they're reality. A relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice he was a stranger in their comprehension of who he was. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Their eyes were holden that they shall know him. Their eyes were holden. Disbelief will change the vision. Disbelief will change our vision of who he is. Disbelief will cover up the real Jesus. If you don't believe this morning, your disbelief will cover him up. Their disbelief covered him up. They couldn't tell who he was because of their disbelief. But think with me, he was not only a stranger in their comprehension, he was a stranger in their conversations. Look there at verse 17. He said to them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another? Their communications were of disbelief and discouragement. Their communications were living on feelings and on Friday and on Saturday. I don't want to live on a Friday and Saturday. I want to live Sunday. I want this to live to be the power of the resurrection Sunday. And so there was a stranger in their comprehension, a stranger in their conversation. I would like to have been there that day just to wonder what they were talking about. But maybe they were talking about all the things they were hoping were going to happen. It didn't happen in their life because he was dead. He was not only a stranger in their comprehension and a stranger in their conversation, but he was a stranger in their choices. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to notice three choices. Number one, they chose to lower their view of who he is. Would you look there in verse 19? Now, Jesus is alongside of them. They don't know it's him. He's going to reveal himself later in the text. He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And would you get these words, which was? Underline that in your thought. In other words, they, as far as he was concerned, was just the prophet who had come and gone. I want you to know something. Jesus Christ was more than a prophet. And he's not was, he is. Because it's Resurrection Sunday. So they had lowered their view of who he was. He's just the prophet, but now he's gone. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ was more than a prophet, and he's not gone. He's alive, alive today. Not only chose first to lower the view of who he was, but they chose to look to the wrong people for their answers of what was going on. Look there in verse 20 and 21. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they've crucified him. They chose to look to the wrong people for the answers, what was going on. Because as far as Rome was concerned, he was dead. The religious leaders of that day, they were like Sadducees. Sadducee doesn't believe in the resurrection. And I'll tell you today, if you do not believe in the resurrection, you're sad. You see, get that in your own life. You're just sad. You just don't see it. You're sad without the resurrection. Some of you got it. The rest of you get it when you think about it the rest of the day. They chose to look to the wrong people. They chose to believe in the wrong reason for his coming. And that's key. Look at verse 21. Why did Jesus come? Well, to their mind, look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. That's not why Jesus came the first time. He'll come the second time to redeem Israel. The first time he came to redeem all of us. He came to die on Calvary's cross. So they chose to lower the view of God. They chose to look to the wrong people for their answers. They chose to believe in the wrong reason why he came. Our Jesus, I'm glad he came. He will redeem Israel. Matter of fact, I'm going to give, I believe it's this coming Wednesday night, seven miracles of Israel. They're God's chosen people. God will restore them fully into their land, already beginning to see some of that today, but we realize that. But he came the first time to redeem us. He'll come the second time to redeem Israel. Just when the world thinks that they're going to get rid of these Jews that they've had put up with for all these years, they're going to find out they're God's chosen people, and they're going to put with them for eternity. But think with me, this stranger this stranger that came alongside of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Think with me, none of these sad disciples and this stranger, but think with me the scriptures that he expounded. Drop down with me as we see here in verse 24. Verse 25, excuse me. As we go to verse 24, so we'll pick it up. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found us even as the women had said, but him they saw not, because why? He had risen from the grave. Look at verse 25, because we find here, I believe, the first Sunday school lesson. I like Sunday school lessons. Somebody said to me one day, why do you have a Sunday school lesson? I said, because Jesus had one. I want to do what Jesus did. Look over there, first of all, in verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools. Now, the word fool here is a word literally means you have no discernment. That's what the word means. It's not a deep term that you don't believe in God and all that. He just simply, you're ignorant. You have no discernment of what's going on here. So he said to them, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And then I want you to notice that he expounded the scriptures. Look at verse 27. Drop down. Well, I think I'll just read verse 25 and 26 together. Verse 26 and 27, excuse me. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Our Lord speaking. And get this, he began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded, and the word expounded is the word hermeneutics. That's the idea of a deep study of Scripture, to kind of tear it apart and put it so that you can understand it, understand the Scripture. He expounded to them all the Scripture things that concerning him. Now, are four things in this chapter that our Lord opened. Four of them. Number one, he opened the Scriptures. That's what it means when it says in verse 27, he expounded, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Dr. M.R. DeHaan made a statement one time. He said, you can see Jesus on every page of the Old Testament as well as the New. And I say amen to that. The writers of the Old Testament wrote about the coming Christ. And so he expounded. I'd love to have been there to hear that Sunday school lesson. Man, I would have sat on the edge of my seat as our Lord expounded scriptures. And we find an open scripture. Then I come down to verse 30 and 31, and it came to pass as he sat meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and bread gave them, and their eyes were open. That's the second thing. Their eyes were open. I don't mean the physical eyes, but they opened their physical, their spiritual sight. You have open scripture, you have open sight. They're seeing things before now that they had never seen before. And then I come down to verse 45, I see the third thing that is open. He opened to them their understanding. He opened the source of understanding things. Before, they didn't understand. He opened the source of understanding. And then I find the fourth one over there in verse 51. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted for them, and he carried up an open sky. And Jesus went up to heaven. And I want news for you. He's coming back. He's coming back and will carry away God's people. And so we see he expounded the scripture, the first Sunday school. And he also enlightened their understanding of who he is. Look there in verse 28. Now, this is key, 28, 29, 30. I want you to get these verses. He enlightened their understanding that. Look at verse 28. And as they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but he constrained him. Now, there's a great truth right there. I want you to see. Let's read that again. In verse 28, and they drew nigh into the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus passes by your life, you want him to stay. Jesus will not force himself on you. If you're here without Jesus Christ, he'll not force himself on you, but he'd like for you to receive him as Savior. As a Christian, don't pass him by. Don't let him pass by. Greet him. I love to greet him every morning in my prayer time and my scripture time. I love to greet him. I want to say, Lord, come. Good to see you, Lord. Good to have you part of my life today, the center of my life, the Lord of my life. And they constrained him. But notice further. He said, abide with us. I hope that's the words you say even on this Easter Sunday. Lord, abide with me. Don't pass me by. I want you to stay with me. I need you in my life. For it was toward evening, and the day is far spent. And when he went in to tarry with them. Now get verse 30 and 31. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed them, and broke and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew it was him. Now, how did they know it was him? Well, number one, they opened their eyes, but it's something else. He's breaking bread, right? They're looking at those hands. What are they going to see in those hands, folks? The prints of the nails in his hands. Oh, it's him. It's him. He not only opened their eyes, but when he broke the bread, they could see the nail prints in his hands as he gave it to them. And so he was enlightened their understanding. He was enlightened their understanding by being with them. He broke the bread. He not only expounded the scriptures, enlightened their understanding, but he enlarged their vision. You know, I have found the more time I spend with my Lord, the more I get to know about him. The less time I spend with him, the less time I know about him. I want you to get that. Don't make him a stranger in your life. I want you to notice here, and they said, look there in verse 31, and he vanished out of their sight. He appeared to them and he vanished. Our Lord can do that. But you look at verse 32, for he not only expounded the scriptures, he not only enlightened their understanding of who he is, he enlarged their vision of him. Look at verse 31. And they said, wonder, did not our heart burn within us? Now I say it reverently, but they had holy heartburn. Yeah, that's right, holy heartburn. I mean their heart, I don't mean the kind you get from indigestion, but I mean their heart was on fire and it excited them as he was there. He enlarged their vision. He not only did so by the burning hearts, I mean the result was the burning heart, but it's also bold belief. Look there in verse 33. And listen, when we started this chapter, these fellows, this man and his wife, I believe it was a man and wife, were down. They were really low. They were so low they could spit on the ground, slide under the door, someone said. That's pretty low. Look at verse 33. And they arose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and they were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he appeared to Simon. I mean to tell you, they were excited. That's not the same that we first saw on that road to Emmaus Road. They were down. They were discouraged. All the things they believed seemed to be over with. And so they were bold in their belief. They're now saying, he's risen indeed. He's not just he's risen indeed. They were and appeared to Simon. And there was a better conversation when they left. And verse 35, they told what things were done in their way and how he was known to them. Boy, their conversation just changed. I want to tell you something. What's your conversation like? When you're close to the Lord, your conversation is spiritual. You desire to talk about him. You desire to get to know him better. So I say to you this morning, as we have this service here this morning, sad disciples, oh, sad. Why? It's Friday. He's in the grave. The devil's excited. He's saying to those changed, hey, fellows, you demons down here, it's okay. Won't be long. You're going to be free. You Christians, you'll discover that all that you believe is dead and gone. And Saturday comes and they're so discouraged. He was hoping maybe the next day. Now it's the third day. And he is alive. You know what the first word Jesus said out of his mouth when he wrote? He said, all hail, H-A-I-L, means oh joy. That's the first words he said. Oh joy! Why? You've been sad too long. So I say to all of us today, hallelujah, he lives. So I don't know if he's a stranger to you this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, he's a stranger. And you need to come to trust him as Lord and Savior. If you're listening online this morning, I'd ask you to take your place as a lost sinner. I'd ask you to ask him to come into your heart, save you. Admit you're a sinner and ask him to save you. That's why he came. Come the second time to save Israel, but the first time to save you and I. We know today that he is coming back. And I'll tell you what, he expounded the scripture. It's all about him. You know what life's about? It's all about him. You know what our beliefs are about? All about him. You know what our church is about? It's all about him. You know what getting new pastors about? It's all about getting the one that will exalt him from this pulpit. That's what it's all about. Let's stand to our feet, and as we close the morning service,